Welcome to the OBX Fishcast. I'm Jody O'Donnell. We release a new OBX Fishcast each Friday. On today's show, we'll get a fishing report from Captain Marty Brill. We'll also hear from Michaela at the Oregon Inlet Fishing Center, Brenda at Wine Cheese Marina, and Tony Lombardi from WalkingAngler.com. His Tips with Tony segment will feature how to catch those speckled trout. It's been a great summer for speckled trout, and Tony will be discussing speckled trout towards the end of the program. Let's get started with Captain Marty Brill with a look at the fishing.
Oregon Inlet Fleet yesterday, I guess is what I meant to say. They had really good blackfin tuna fishing and a scattered yellowfin tuna, but some of the blackfin fishing is really, really good with some big numbers thrown up on the board. On the docks, good eating, smaller size tuna, but a real crowd pleaser. There's a few wahoos and a scattered billfish caught in the fleet, and a few mahi, but not many. Down to Hatteras, we had a few wahoos. That bite has continued to be pretty good this week. And then we had a few blackfin tuna, a scattered dolphin. I didn't really get a report on bottom fishing yesterday, but I don't doubt that some people tried it. Trout. Back in the Sound is still the thing to talk about, trout and drum, and even a few tarpon down on the lower Sound. Been hearing some reports trickling back about that. And then over here behind Hatteras Island, the bluefish have been biting the last couple of days, and the trout. I'm talking about on the Sound side. And up around the inlets, it's a variety of things to be caught. Spanish mackerel, if you're down in Hatteras, maybe even a king mackerel. There's been some ribbon fish still being caught now that we've got these blues moved into the area. So that's great. And then along the beaches, that's mostly spots and croakers. But you could throw in a sea mullet. If you're on the advanced class, you could also get a Spanish mackerel or a pompano. And, you know, there's still, even though it doesn't apply to our general crowd of visitors, there is some king mackerel being caught off the piers, but that truly is the advanced class. But a few being caught each day off of every pier. So that's my report for you.
Michaela is at the Oregon Inlet Fishing Center's update desk. How was that fishing, Michaela?
So it was okay for the boats we did have go out, but it was good with what they had. We had some mahi and white marlin and blue marlin releases, so it was pretty good.
How about the nearshore and inshore?
So the nearshore guys did good. They're getting bluefish and Spanish mackerel. The inshore guys are doing very well with speckled trout still, bluefish, and limit to speckled trout still.
How about Miss Oregon Inlet?
Miss Oregon Inlet had some spot, croaker, some sea mullet, some speckled trout and mackerel and bluefish yesterday.
Safari Dolphin Tour?
Safari Dolphin Tour has available trips at 7:30, 10 a.m., 12:30, 3, and then sundown at 5:30.
What time are you expecting the boats back this afternoon?
Anytime between about 3 and 4:30.
How about that website and telephone number?
So oregon-inlet.com or 252-441-6301.
Talking to Brenda at Wine Cheese Marina. Brenda, nice day weather-wise. How about that fishing?
Oh, my gosh, Jody, the guys are all back in action. Nearshore boats, lots of Spanish mackerel, few bluefish, bunch of ribbon fish. Inshore guys, they are just pounding the speckled trout. They are coming in with really, really nice keepers, plus a bunch of shorts, but the action is incredible out there. Our offshore guys, waiting to see what they come in with it today. Should be a great day of inshore and nearshore is any indicator. They should come in with boatloads of fish there, too.
Wine Cheese Marina, great place to go. Ian, if you just want to do a dolphin tour.
Plenty of room on the dolphin tours. We do have availability tomorrow on a couple of our trips. The dolphin have been real active out there. It's been really great. It's a great two-hour trip. Nice little way to see the area by water, see a little bit of nature, get a little bit of information about the area. It's just a fun all-around couple of hours.
When you go fishing and you do your catching, there's a place that can do the cooking, the Landing Grill.
Always got to come to the Landing Grill. We'll fry that up for you, give you some french fries, homemade coleslaw, hush puppies. What a way to end your day. Nothing like literally from sea to table. Caught by you.
Best kept secret on the Outer Banks is the most terrific shrimp salad is at the Landing Grill.
We sell out of it every day. It's, of course, Don't forget about our tuna salad, too, made with the fresh yellowfin tuna. Everything here is from scratch, nothing out of a box or a can. Freshest seafood in town, you can't beat it. And, of course, we do have pizzas.
How about that website and telephone number if people want to do a little fishing?
All right, you can find us on the web at winecheesemarina.com or give us a call at 252-423-3157.
This is the OBX Fishcast. I'm Jody O'Donnell. We release a new OBX Fishcast each Friday. Chatting with Tony Lombardi, walkingangler.com is his work. He also contributes to the Captain Marty program every Saturday from 6:30 to 8:30 on Beach 104 and 94.5 WCMS. Tony's talking about speckled trout, and this summer has been a really good summer for the speckled trout, Tony.
It has been. The trout are probably one of the most sought-after species here on the Outer Banks. They are a strong fighter and really excellent table fare. And the majority of these fish are caught on the grass flats by boat on the inshore sounds. But, you know, most of them, or let's say a lot of them, are caught right from the surf or the pier or the inshore bridges. And that's kind of where I like to focus my attention. You know, trout show up usually late spring in the ocean, and they spend most of their time spawning in the sounds, both in the Pamlico, Croatan, Roanoke, and the Albemarle Sound. And then we see them again in the fall back into the ocean, where you pick them up in the surf and on the piers. Now, most fish that have been landed this year are under the slot. And that's because we had a moratorium last winter when we had a stun. And so you're finding most of the fish are going to be 14 inches or less. But now I have heard of some really nice big trout, 25 up even to 31 inches. So we're seeing some good quality fish out there. But again, I think that cold stun, kind of had a
couple winters ago, yeah.
On the bigger fish. But I think we have a real good chance for them to rebound, and not only for this year, but I think if we can keep the weather a little bit warmer this winter, we might have a tremendous fishery next year. So, but anyway, let's talk about a couple of places you can pick them up. One of my favorite places to catch trout this year is really either the Little Bridge or the Daniels Bridge, as we know, the Causeway Bridge. And the other location is the Washington Bomb Bridge. It's under the Pirates Cove Bridge or the Wildlife Pier. Now, these two places are not only the only places to catch trout, but those are some of my favorite. A couple of others that you'll find a lot of trout fishermen is on the south end of the Oregon Inlet Marina, where they wade out in the water. The south end of the Bassnight Bridge, there where the old lifeguard station used to be, is always a good spot. Behind Bodie Island Lighthouse, and of course, you know, we can find, you know, anglers down on the western side of Hatteras Island, where Canadian Hole is. There's a couple of places you can pull off. So there's a lot of places you can pick up fish in the Sound or in the backwaters here on the Outer Banks. Now, catching them, speckled trout, they have a unique strike, at least from my perspective. The strike is quick, and it's really aggressive. Now, they're going to suck that bait in, and they're going to feel for lightness and taste of the bait that they're going after. So if they sense anything is out of the ordinary, Jody, you know, they're going to spit it out. So we've got to be quick to set that hook. But we need to remember that the trout have a really soft mouth, so we have to take care not to pull the hook or the jig out of their mouth when we're reeling them in. Now, once they're hooked up, we got to remember that trout have a tendency to follow the line up, and they will spit that hook if you don't keep the rod tight. So it's important that you keep that tension on the rod. Now, some of the gear that we use. Most of the time, you're going to use light gear. You're going to use your 6.5, 7.5 foot rod. You're going to use one that's got a very sensitive tip, because a lot of times they're going to nibble on that bait and touch it or bump it a couple of times before they suck it in. So we want to use some type of light gear, not real heavy. And the standard bait's going to be I like a soft bait, soft plastic. And I like to have it attached to a lead head, which is, probably the most common way to fish it. Now, tandem jig heads are typically deadly. They just seems that everybody who uses them does a great job. And it seems that the plastic, you know, when it goes through the water, that on the leading head or the leading plastic, it looks like it's, you know, a fish trying to escape another one because you have a trailing jig head coming after it. A lot of anglers will modify that to put the larger jig head on the back side of the tandem and a small one on the front. And that's typically, you know, the trout's going to see that. He's going to see a larger fish going after a small one. And this trout says, hey, I might get, you know, one of the two meals. So let me go after whichever one I can get. So the tandem usually is the better rig. Now, single jig heads work real well, and I kind of like that myself. You know, most plastic baits are going to work well as long as they have they look natural and they have a scent. Now, I like a couple of different ones. Z-Man and Gulp are the two that are kind of my favorite. And the reason is because they have that scent embedded in them. And they look very natural. Now, another way, other than jigging, another way that anglers have been catching trout is through popping corks. Now, there's four or five different types of popping corks. Each one of them makes a little bit of different noise. And you can check with the tackle shop to determine, you know, what's going to be best for you. Or you can just get two or three of them and alternate them. But you want to do is you want to hook a plastic or a fresh shrimp, if you can get fresh shrimp, on a hook and suspend that about 18 to 24 inches below the cork. Now, how that works is you cast it out. And you pop it. You pull your rod tip back two or three times to make a slurping sound. And it sounds like there's a fish in distress, and the trout will come out of the grass or come off the bottom and look for that noise. And when they see your shrimp or your bait suspended underneath the float, they're going to attack that. And so the popping corks were really popular in Florida, and they've really taken off up here in North Carolina. So I think you see most people who are fishing for trout are going to have at least one or two rods rigged like that. Now, another way to fish them is topwaters. And we used to use those quite frequently, the Muralure 7, I think it was the 17, and it was called the Electric Chicken, and it was pink and white, and that really went over well. But topwaters are really effective too, but you got to use them certain times of the day. I find that morning and late, when it's low light conditions, work best with your topwaters. Now, dark colors in the daytime or it's bright outside, and lighter colors for low light. You want to use the dark colors when it's bright, and you want to use the light colors when it's dark. So just a little bit opposite of what we would normally think. You know, sometimes colors make a difference too, Jody. You know, color combinations that are really popular are chartreuse, white, pink, but also a combination of those, silver green, gold black. But you remember, everything that was immature in the sound was white. So you really want to focus on anything that has a white color, whether it has a white belly on it or white sides, some type of shininess. So that those colors work well. But really, it's more important than color is the element of action and scent. So we talked about Z-Man and Gulp having a scent that's embedded in them. But now it comes down to action. You know, you got to be the bait. That's the old saying of a lot of Florida anglers. You have to be the bait. Act like you're the bait swimming through the water. You want to act natural. You want to have an example of a fish escaping from another fish. So they're running, and especially when you're retrieving, when a fish is being chased, they don't stop. They don't stop to be eaten. They want to keep going. So when you get a strike or when you're fishing for trout, you want to keep that lure moving through the water. It's a tap-tap and fall and a tap-tap and fall. And a lot of times when the jig head falls to the bottom or starts slowing down, that's when you get your strike. That's when the trout senses that their prey is becoming weak or tired, and it's an easy bite for them. Now, some of the conditions we talked about, early mornings and late evenings, you know, when fishing with shorelines. But really, any time on the boat. I know I've been out a number of times, and we hit the grass flats or the sandy bottoms or the oyster beds, and they're there most of the day. But we're talking more of shore fishing. So the other thing we want to focus on is structure. And we've talked about that so many times during this fish cast. And really, if you listen to people talk about, you know, where to go and some of the conditions, it's structure. Structure can be either something on the bottom of the water or something floating on the surface. It can be some type of sandbar or it could be a hole or a point of land, something that juts out. It could be a rock. All of those things are considered structures. The other thing that a lot of anglers overlook is water temperature. If you can tell the difference in water color, the temperature of the water might be a couple of degrees warmer, and the fish are going to stay typically in the cooler side of that. Now, when we talk about water movement, of course, it's underwater structures piling. Wind is also aids in the movement of water. So we want to watch the tide. Now, one thing that a lot of anglers focus on is clean water. So that's why we go to creek mouths, is because you have clean water that's coming out of the creeks. Or we're down at Oregon Inlet, where the water is coming across through the inlet itself. So we want to look for clean water. When you get stained or a lot of silt in the water, it kind of confuses the trout, because they look for bait either by sight or by smell or sense, and they can also feel that vibration. And when you have a lot of debris in the water, it affects their ability to notice that. One thing that I've seen when I'm fishing on one of the bridges is a lot of anglers are impatient. When you're fishing for trout, you got to cover a lot of water, and you got to put your time in. Trout are going to hit that moving bait, but you got to get it in front of them. So, and then one other point I want to make is limit your noise on the bridge. You know, if you're on a boat, obviously you don't want to drop your tackle box, you know, or weight, or your, you know, soda can or something like that. That's all unnatural noise. When the water's passing through the pilings, there's a certain noise that they listen for. Or let's say you're on the little bridge and a truck or a car is running over the bridge and it makes a couple of thuds going across the bridge. The fish recognize that as a regular noise in their environment. But if you're dropping a tackle box, or you're knocking up against the railing, or you're yelling for your friend, very unnatural noises, and it can spook the trout. So, you know, my main tip for catching trout is go where others haven't been. That's so important, is try to find new places. Trout are really everywhere on the Outer Banks and the Sounds. Try new places. If the conditions are right, where you have your water movement, you have your structure, you're going to find the fish. They're going to be there. So that's kind of my take on speckled trout. And it seems like if you get out there really almost any day, you won't want to focus on the ocean this time of year. But the sound waters are a great place to go, Jody.
Sounds like it. Been talking to Tony Lombardi, walkingangler.com. It has been a terrific summer when it comes to the speckled trout. Tony, how long do they linger around?
Typically, you're going to find them, they're going to be around until probably October. It really depends on the water temperature. When the water temperature gets down into the 50s, they're going to head out.
I hear you, just like a lot of other anglers.
Absolutely.
Sure. Go to warmer waters. Right. Tony, one of them. Tony, thanks again for dropping by the OBX Fishcast.
Great. Have a great day, Johnny.
That's going to do it for this OBX Fishcast. Remember, catch the new one next Friday. Thanks again to Captain Marty Brill, as well as Michaela at the Oregon Inlet Fishing Center, Brenda at Juan Cheese Marina, and Tony Lombardi from walkingangler.com. I'm Jody O'Donnell. Make sure you share the OBX Fishcast with a friend.